We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Todd McIntyre shares the vision of Gateway Men. Let's listen in as he talks about how Gateway engages men at their church.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Men's Summit podcast. I'm excited today because we are going to talk about the vision of Gateway Men, which is our men's ministry here at Gateway Church. And really, I'm just going to talk about a testimony of how we got to where we are and what has God done for us in the last 9 years. I also want to talk about what we've learned about men and how to get men engaged in your church. You know, when I first came to Gateway Church, I was not a men's pastor. I was a youth pastor. I was a children's pastor for about 7 years. And then I started a school ministry called Big Mouth Presentations, where we went into public schools all around the country, and we taught teachers and parents and did student presentations on character education. Really, it was an organization called Character Counts. So Big Mouth worked with Character Counts for 9 years. I thought I'd do it for the rest of my life. I loved doing what I did. But it was in 2008 and 2009 when the economy really hit and we couldn't afford to pay our own bills. I couldn't afford to pay myself for about 9 months. I was able to pay my guys, but I couldn't pay me, and I couldn't pay our mortgage. I had two rental properties that the rent in that area went down so low, I couldn't afford to drop their rent any more than I did. And I had renters that left. And because they left, I lost two rental properties. My own home was under foreclosure. And it was in April of 2010 that I decided I need to step out of doing this business and find something else to do. And my home church there in Chandler, Arizona was asking me to come on full time with them. And Gateway also found out that I was looking for another position or another job. And so I was in the middle of trying to figure out what I was going to do when Gateway offered me to come in and interview for the Gateway men's pastor job. So we did. And it was an interesting interview. Gateway's a large church. At that time, it was about 14,000 people in the church. They had a large staff. And it was very unique in what happened, because after the interview process and they did finally accept me to be the men's pastor, which blew my mind away because every question they asked me about men's ministry, I didn't know the answer. But what was intriguing to the people that were interviewing me was when I went into a school, I would talk about the culture of the school, not what we do, but who we are. The characters, who we are. Academics is what we do. And so they knew that I worked in a cultural thought. And so they wanted me to come in and change the culture of Gateway Men here at Gateway Church. And so here's what they said. We're going to give you 9 months to study men's ministry. Just go out and study. Look at the other churches that are doing it. Follow the men's pastor around that's working now. Help them out where you can. But what we really want you to do is come up with a strategy in about 9 months of how you would change and what you would do differently with Gateway Men. It was during that time I studied a lot of churches. And you're going to, this may shock you. It shocked me. Most of the major churches in the world today don't do a men's ministry. There was one church out in California, Saddleback Church, that was doing men, and they were doing it fairly well. I went out and talked to Kenny Luck, who was the men's pastor out there at the time, and we connected quite a bit. And I looked at some other churches here in the Dallas area, and what I really found was men's ministry didn't work. Everywhere we were looking at men's ministry, it didn't work, and it was frustrating. And even what we were getting here at Gateway was tough. We had three weekly meetings. We had a Wednesday night, we had a Thursday morning, and we had a Saturday morning. And at each one of those weekly meetings, we averaged between 40 and 75 guys. And you would think that's pretty good, but the reality was we had 14,000 people in the church. We probably had about 6,000 men in the church. And to have 186 guys on an average attendance didn't seem so successful to me. On top of that, when I just researched how many guys came one time and never came back because they just wanted to try it and it wasn't appealing to them, in 1 4-month period, we had 500 guys show up one time and then never came back, which tells you that out of the 186 guys, a lot of those guys were first-time, one-time visitors and never came back. And I couldn't figure out why. I couldn't figure out why men didn't really like coming to church. I couldn't figure out what their problem was. I couldn't figure out why they didn't want to engage with other guys. I knew that I was a man and it didn't bother me, but I had been in church for a long time. I'd been working in churches for a long time. And now it's my job, so I'm kind of paid to hang out with guys. And it was during this season where we brought in a guy named Billy Grammer. And Billy Grammer was a sex therapist here in Dallas. And I've shared this on another podcast. I'm going to share it again because I think it's worth hearing it twice. But Billy Grammer talked about, he was supposed to talk that week about purity. And instead of talking about purity, he decided to talk about masculinity. And I'd never heard a talk on masculinity. I knew I wanted to be masculine. I didn't know really what it was. I thought I did. I knew I didn't want to be emasculated. I thought I knew what that was, but I really didn't know what that was either. I just know I don't like to carry my wife's purse around when she goes to the bathroom. But I really didn't know what masculinity and emasculation was. And Billy Grammer took about a 45-minute talk with our men about what does it mean to be a healthy masculine man and what's the process for a man to go from birth to death and really become the man God wants him to be. And I'm telling you, this talk fascinated me. It was almost like God gave me a key to a man's heart. And I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis of what he said. And this is basically what he said. If he's going to be a healthy masculine man from birth to 5 years old, he's going to have what he would call a direct relationship with mama. In other words, mom takes care of everything. If you think of these two words, I'm going to say two words, direct and indirect, they mean something. Direct really means it's who you are. It's your emotions. It's your spirituality. It's your heart. Indirect really has to do with what you do. Your job, your hobbies, what you like, video games, things that you like to do, that's more your indirect life. And he said from birth to 5 years old, you have a direct relationship with mom, but around 5 or 6, you start separating from mom, and now all of your relationships are centered around indirect. He said, if you're going to be a healthy masculine man during that 6 to 13-year-old age group, what you do defines your relationships. So if I play sports, my friends play sports. If I go to school, my friends go to school. What I do defines me. My relationships aren't based on my heart, aren't based on what I feel, aren't based on anything with spirituality. It's just about getting stuff done. In fact, if you're a sports guy, you understand that if a kid didn't know how to run the bases, you weren't going to be friends with that guy very long, because if he was going to run to third before he ran to first, that's weird. You're off the team. You knew that there was right and wrong. You knew there was ways to do things and there was ways not to do things. And everything in your life was centered about what you do. And Billy said this, if you didn't get a healthy dose during that time, it really messes with a boy and it really starts to emasculate a boy when he doesn't get to have that time of just being indirect. And it's really where masculinity is developed. It's where we get the core of our masculinity is during that 6 to 13-year-old age group. Now, he says that 13 things change. Before I tell you about what changes with men, let me tell you about women. From women, from birth to 13, it's all direct. Now, remember, direct is about who you are. It's about connection. It's about community. It's about your spirituality. It's about your heart. And for women from birth to 13, it's all direct. I can remember my girls when they were young, they were already talking about their weddings. My son, he's 17. He still doesn't even think about his wedding. He doesn't even have a clue what he wants to do at his wedding. He could care less. But my girls knew everything about it. They were so direct. I can remember playing Monopoly with my kids. And if I'm losing in the game, one of my girls is willing to give me property and money to keep the game going on, but my son's mad because he beat us. He's, you're out. No, they're cheating. They can't give you property. They can't give you money. That's not fair. And he'd get upset and there'd be a fight that would go on. And here's the reality. Both of them are right. It's not wrong for him to say he won because he did win. It's the game. It's how the game's played. There's rules. You play by the rules. But it's also equally not wrong to want the game to go on because we love community. And what we have to realize is men and women are different in the sense that men are masculine and women are feminine. But here's what happens when we hit puberty. Around puberty, God switches things around. Now he wants men to go from being indirect to learning how to be direct. That the most healthy masculine man isn't a man that just knows what he does, but he gets his identity in who he is. That you know who you are on the inside. You know why you tick. You know what makes you think the way you think. You know who God is, and you know what God says about you. When a man is a healthy spiritual masculine man, he is a direct man. For women, it's the opposite. They go from being direct to indirect. In fact, for women, it's about standing on your own 2 feet, about being strong, warriors, teaching them how to fight for things, teach them how to do the things that really, as men, we learned very young. They didn't learn this, but the opposite's true for them. They learn how to be direct when we didn't learn how to be direct. And what's very cool about marriage is when God brings us together, the wife can help us learn how to connect, and the man can learn to teach the woman how to be indirect and how to get things done. And so when I heard this message, it was like God gave me a key to the way we do things at Gateway. Because at Gateway, we were all direct. If you looked at our marketing, if you looked at what we did, everything was about your heart. Everything was about your spirituality. And for men, it was kind of odd because Billy said this, a man will never get direct with you until he first feels comfortable with you indirectly. In other words, if we're not the same, if you don't like what I like and we don't do kind of the same things, or I don't understand what you do, I'm not going to come and share my heart with you. But if we're kind of the same, then maybe I'll be willing to open my heart up to you, but I got to make sure it's safe before I do that. And so for most men, when they think about church, they think it's going to be deep. They think it's going to be spiritual. They think it's going to be emotional. And that's not something they're willing to go to very fast. But once they connect with you in an indirect way, it's easy for them to do that. When I saw that, I realized men's ministry doesn't work because everything about men's ministry and almost all the churches I studied was all about being direct, or it was the opposite. There were some men's ministries I studied that were completely indirect. They never talked about your spirituality. They never talked about God. It was all about Monday night football, smoking a cigar, having a glass of wine, and just talking as men, which isn't necessarily bad, but if you're not leading guys to Christ, then what's the point of doing this at all? Because a church job is to help us become more like Christ, not just to gather people in a room. And so I realized the very first thing I need to do at Gateway when I take this thing over is I have to kill the men's ministry. Now, as the men's pastor, what I'm literally saying is I'm going to kill my job. I don't want to do the job that you hired me for. In fact, I want to create a new job for me, and I hope you'll let me do it. And so I told my boss, I said, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to create a ministry for men, but I want to create a movement of men that will build the church. In other words, I don't want to see men congregating like a youth group congregates, but I want to see men actually getting involved in every area of the church and leading the church. And so when you think about what we do here at Gateway, and the reason I think we're seeing so much engagement with men in all of our campuses is because our mindset for men isn't that we're going to build a ministry for you to hang out and talk about your emotions and your spirituality, which we will do that at some point. But our mindset is to get you involved in what's going on in the church and getting you to build the church. Because men understand how to fix problems. They're used to that, but they're not used to fixing their own problems. And so we decided we're going to create a movement of men that build the church. So for me, I win when men are helping in every area of the church, when men are helping in the kids ministry, in the youth ministry, when they're helping at greeting people that come in the doors, when they're helping on mission trips, when they're doing things in the church that the church just needs, whether it's outreaches or ushers or deacons or whatever the church needs. When men are involved in the church, you start seeing the engagement of the men go up and you start seeing the community of men go up as well. And so one of the things we talk about here with Gateway and our men's movement is we're going to be not just indirect, and not just direct, but we're going to be a ministry that goes from indirect to direct. In fact, everything we do, we want to have an indirect element and we want to have a direct element. When I first thought about this, we were averaging about 250 guys at our men's nights. We would have these men's nights where we would advertise all over the church, email blast, you know, flyers. We'd do all this stuff to get guys to come out to a night where it was just for men and we were going to have a speaker and worship and talk to the guys. And we'd average about 250 guys. Now remember, we had 14,000 men in the church. So 250 guys wasn't a ton. And I remember when I wanted to change the way we market and the way we think about men, and I just decided I was going to call Harley Davidson. It was a Adam Smith Harley Davidson shop here in Dallas, and ask him if they would come and just sell motorcycles at our event. And I said, look, I can guarantee you 250 guys, which I think will be more than you get in your store that night. I'm not paying you, but come in and bring some motorcycles and your salesmen and let my guys look at your motorcycles and you can advertise all day long. And we'll advertise to our 14,000 members at our church that Adam Smith Harley Davidson's helping Gateway men to do a men's night. And they agreed. And so that's exactly what we said. We said, Gateway Men's partnered with Adam Smith, Harley Davidson, men's night, free food, worship, and a message afterwards. Now, my marketing team thought I was crazy. They said, you have to market the speaker. You have to market the worship better. People come for speakers and they come for worship. And I said, no, they don't. Men don't do that. Men don't really care who's speaking. They really don't care who's leading worship. What they care about is what is going to happen to me when I get to that event. And am I going to feel safe? And is that going to be something that I want to go to? And Harley Davidson was more of a draw than the speaker that was coming that night. Well, that night we showed up, we got everything set up, we got the motorcycle set up, and we were at one of our smaller campuses, which holds about 700 people in the auditorium. Because remember, we normally got 250 people in the auditorium, so that was a big service for us. And that night, 750 guys showed up. We had to put chairs up. It was crazy. I ran out of pizza within 15 minutes. I mean, it's bad when you run out of food at a men's event when you say it's free food because they will stone you. They were so upset. I had to go out and call Papa John's and get more pizza to come in. And then I found out later that we ran out of parking. I had men that tried to come to the event, but because we ran out of parking, they left. I got emails on Monday telling me that they were frustrated with me because they couldn't get to the event. But let me tell you something. It was one of the best emails I ever got because here's what I found out. At the event, once we finished looking at the Harleys and finished trying to get all the pizzas and all the guys sharing how they do their motorcycles and how they built their motorcycles and what's on their motorcycles, you know how men do. After they did all those things, we went into a service. We had incredible worship. We didn't dumb down the worship. We didn't shorten the songs. In fact, we had more worship than we normally have on a Sunday morning than what they're used to. And then we had a speaker get up there and talk about men's issues. And that speaker was a guy named Keith Kraft who came in. And he's an incredible speaker. But we've always had incredible speakers at Gateway Church. At the end of that sermon, the altars filled up. Men came running to the altars, giving their lives to Christ, asking God to make changes in their life. And we knew we were onto something, that if men could feel comfortable indirectly, then we can get them comfortable directly. And so we created a movement of men that we do indirect to direct, because we figure about 85% of our men, church-going men, who come to church all the time are indirect. They don't know how to talk about their hearts. They don't know how to talk about their spirituality. And let me just be real honest. I'm a pastor. I meet a lot of pastors that can't talk about their emotions. I meet a lot of pastors that can't talk about their spirituality. They can all talk about the strategy of their church. They can all talk about how they're solving problems at their church. They can all talk about the vision of their church. But if you ask them about them, it kind of throws them off because they're not used to being direct with you. And one of the things God's showing us, if we don't ever get direct, we're really never going to know who we are. And if we don't know who we are, we're really not going to be able to fix the things that we need to do. So we created a ministry that really is a three-tier ministry. We have big events, we have medium events, and we have small events. And all of these ministries are geared to driving men down to two areas, getting men in discipleship groups and getting men to volunteer. Everything we do is about those two things. So we have a big event. We have our men's summit coming up in May 16th and 17th of 2019. And we're excited about it. And we do it every year. And it's a two-day, it's a Thursday night, all day Friday night conference where we're going to be really indirect. We're going to have things out in the parking lot. We're going to have food out there. We'll have events out there. We'll have cars out there. We'll have things for guys to shoot and just to be a part of and just to hang out and be men. And for 2 hours, we'll have this huge tailgate party where men can just experience what it's like to be men. They understand this. It's their hobbies. They love to do it. It's a lot of fun and they get to eat a lot of food. And anytime you have stuff like that, that draws men in. But they all know after those 2 hours, we're all going to come into the service and we're going to have 4,000 men in our auditorium that are going to worship God like never before. And we're going to have speakers that night that will speak to them. And during this a day and a half conference, we'll have four sessions where we really harp and we hit the direct side of life. But throughout the conference, we also will hit a lot of indirect things. What's amazing, when I first came to Gateway and we did this conference, we had about 900 guys that would show up. And within the first 2 years that we did this conference, we had no men that were between the ages of 13 and 25 that would come to anything we did. And when we started this new process and we started doing the indirect to the direct, now we have over 650 young adults between 13 and 25 that come to these events. And the reason that's important to me is because we're losing our boys to the world because they never see their dads worshiping. They never see their dads going after God. They only see their dads talking about indirect when they're trying to figure out what life is like on the direct side. And so we're allowing them to come in and see it. We're allowing them to come experience it. Most churches separate kids and adults. We do that because it's obvious. We want the kids to be able to have a kids type service. We want the adults not to have to think about their kids and just enjoy their service. But the problem with that is they never get to see mom and dad worshiping God. They don't know if it's really relevant to them. And if we're not doing it in our homes, where else do they get to see this? My son, he's 17 now. He's been coming with me to the Men's Summit since he was 9 years old. And yesterday he told me he's going to buy 20 tickets for his friends to go to the Men's Summit. He's buying it. He's got his own job. He works at an In-N-Out burger company. He actually is going to take his money that he's made and he's going to buy Men's Summit tickets because he believes that when his friends get there, they're going to experience something they've never experienced before. They're going to experience the indirect, which they're all going to love. There's video games. There's all kinds of stuff for their age group to do. But then they're going to walk into that service, and he's expecting God to hit them like never before. And I believe there's going to be a revival of his friends because he's willing to come to a men's event where men are being men and they're worshiping God. So that's our big event. We do it every year, and all those things funnel down to something else. We have medium-sized events that we do as well. These medium-sized events are like Brigade. We get men in small groups, and they go out to homes of single moms and widows' homes, and they fix their fence or a hole in the wall or little fix-it jobs around their house. And once a month on a Saturday, these men get together and do projects at people's homes. It's an incredible thing. We also have sports groups that we do, softball, golf, flag football. We have guys that do frisbee golf, and these sport events are great because they're indirect, but what we're doing is we're pushing them from that indirect sport into a direct small group. And then we also have breakfasts. Two or three times a year, each of our campuses will run a men's breakfast. Some of them will do a little bit more than that, but they'll run a men's breakfast where they're getting men to come in and eat and talk about men's events and get them to get involved in the area of the church. And that leads down to what we would call our small groups, which is our discipleship groups. And at these discipleship groups, we do what we call the promise principle, which if you go back to a couple of episodes ago, you can hear all about our discipleship process. Philip Hunter wrote the book Promise Principle, but really it was God who showed us how to study the Bible and how to bring the circumstances that we're dealing with in life into the Word of God and pray the Word of God over those circumstances. It's been incredible. In fact, our small groups for men are actually growing, where in most churches where I've studied, men's ministry small groups would deplete. They might start with 10 guys, they would end with 4, and they would always be 4 and no more forever. That's not what these groups are like. In fact, my personal group meets at 8 o'clock on a Thursday morning, which is a terrible time to meet. And last week, I had 24 guys sitting around a table where we were reading Proverbs 30 together. They were underlining truths and commandments. Then we broke into 3 smaller groups because it was too much. And every guy shared a circumstance in their life and prayed one of those scriptures over that circumstance. And I'm telling you, God moved the hearts of those men. And because of that, these men are getting closer to God and becoming more like Christ. I love the indirect. I love playing. I love eating. I love doing the things that men do. But if I don't have the direct, I'm never really going to be fulfilled in my life. And so for Gateway Men, it's about going from indirect to direct. And one of the unique things that we do here with our Gateway staff, our Gateway Men staff, is we like to keep score. I believe scoreboards are a big deal. When you keep score, it makes the intensity a little bit higher than when you're just shooting shots around a basketball hoop. But we want to keep score, and we want to keep score on 3 things. One is we want to keep score on groups. We want to know how many men are in discipleship groups. We want to know from where we were yesterday to where we are now. When I first started, we had about 250 guys in groups. Now we're well over 1,500 men in small groups doing discipleship. It's a big deal to me, and I want that number to grow. The other scoreboard we keep track of is volunteerism. We want to know how many guys are volunteering at a church, at our churches. Now, national average is about 20% of all the volunteers you have in your church will be men. 80% will be women. My goal is that we can at least get to that 50% mark. Right now at Gateway Church, 43% of all of our volunteers are men. And at one of our campuses, he's actually at 53% of his volunteers are men. Why is that a big deal? Because I told you at the beginning, men are called to build the church. We're not just called to congregate, but we're called to build the church. And we want to see that number grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And as we help guys get engaged in the church, they're getting engaged in community, and they're starting to learn how to become more like Christ. The last scoreboard we have is a thing we call Table Talks. And this is our favorite one. Table Talks is really one-on-one conversations. We're getting to know somebody who's not connected in the church. And we want to hear their story. We want to find out how they got to the church. We want to find out something about their family or their life, their job, indirectly just hang out with them. And then we want to help them get to the next step on their journey. And when we started doing Table Talks, our goal was to maybe out of all of our campuses, hit about 500 new guys every year that we would be talking to one-on-one and leading them down this funnel. And the first year we did this, we hit over 700 guys that we talked to, that we connected with. And we actually saw these guys for every two guys basically that we met with, at least one of those guys was getting involved in a group or becoming a volunteer. That's powerful to me. And this is what I found. When you meet with a guy one-on-one, the opportunity for him to get involved is so much higher than if you do an email blast or you try to say something from the stage to get him connected. And so from here on out, what we do is when we want to connect a guy, we don't connect with him by saying, join my small group. We connect with him by saying, let's go to coffee. Let's go to lunch. Let's go hang out together. And when that happens, the relationships are built stronger. And we can find that when he sees that we're normal in a conversation, he's willing to get direct with us. Well, last year we were well over our 1,000 mark, and we believe this year we're gonna be well over that as well. We feel like the Table Talks is really the key to how we're growing our groups and volunteers. So let me just say it again. A Table Talk is a one-on-one conversation. It's easy. Sit down with the guy, find out his story, find out what he's doing, and then connect him to the next step in the church. And when we do this, we see men growing and becoming more like Christ. That's it. It's really simple. Three things. Table Talks. Do big events that are indirect, leading guys to direct. Have an infrastructure built with groups and volunteers where we can get men connected. And when we do that, the entire church is blessed and the entire church wants to do things. I told you when we first started our men's summit, we had about 900 guys that showed up to our first men's summit. Now, these are guys not just from Gateway, but from churches around our area. This year, we're looking to have around 4,000 men that will come to our men's event. And we'd love for you to come May 16th and 17th. It's going to be a great couple days. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get to be a part of something that's unique. Where else do you see that many men coming together, not only playing together and having a blast, but they're getting right with God. And they're making decisions in their life that are going to help them become better husbands, better fathers, better employees and employers, and just better Christians. And we'd love to invite you to come see that. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that. If you want to know more information about our Men's Summit, it's menssummit.com. You can go to that website. You can see the speakers we're going to have this year. You can see some of the things we're going to do. You can see some videos that we have. If you want to bring a couple friends, I encourage you to do that. And we hope that you get to be a part of that with us this year. And if not this year, think about coming next year, because I'm telling you, this is a two-day event that will change your life. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the men that are listening to this podcast that have heard the vision. And Lord, I pray that whatever you did in their heart to spark them, Lord, that they'd become men who aren't just passive and apathetic to the things of God, but Lord, they'd be men who are aggressive and going after you. Lord, your word says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up masculine, mighty men like David had his mighty men, that men that would stand up and say, I will do my job. I will take my place. I will do what God's called me to do. I'll fix the problems that I've made and problems that other people make because I'm a man and that's what I do. And I'll also come in and help people who need my help. Lord, I thank you for raising up men in this generation that are no longer letting other people take their job, but they're doing it for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you'd like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.